The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. Every taking us in, we appreciate it. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin alongside here on a numbers game. Still to come this hour, Steve Fezzik, the only back-to-back winner of the Hilton Super Contest back in the day. Steve hyping up his own appearance on the show. I will tell you, this is his words. He says, I will tell you. Let me not lie. Let me actually give, quote.
Find his own words.
Yeah, his own words. He said he's going to tell us. He said, do not miss today's show. I will reveal how one random discovery led to me making millions betting football. How about that? How about that for a tease? And then Dr. Bob on the National College Football Semifinals. We'll get to that momentarily. By the way, Jason, Skull or Copenhagen? What do you think he was rocking there
first
in that segment?
Don't really want to know.
Wasn't there a third besides Skull and Copenhagen? Was it like Happy Days or something like that?
I'm impressed you know Skull and Copenhagen. Oh, I don't think I can name them. If there's a third, I can't name it.
Those commercials back in the day? There used to be commercials for that stuff. Like, I'm Walt Garrison of the Dallas Cowboys. I prefer Skull and Copenhagen.
And then you always had the friend who played baseball who would just be like, you don't need to take it everywhere, man. I know you're on the baseball team, but you don't need to take it everywhere.
We get tweets of being in the book, Smut Killer. He says, another segment, another slight on the forgotten Tampa Bay Bucks. Give me Baker and the points, baby. You know what? It's a great point. I like the Bucks too, man.
They're both our top tens. They fall under, I like the Rams too, but there are multiple teams, Rams, Bucks, Commanders.
Yeah.
Defense pops up and starts playing a little better than they have over a few weeks stretch. Watch out. I think any of those teams can beat anybody.
I am, as a Washington guy, I am terrified of them playing either the Rams or the Bucks. Mm-hmm. They will have to play them or the Eagles if they fell all the way to seven. Not all the way, but one spot to seven. But every one of these teams is terrifying. There is not a team in there that I'd be like, oh, yeah, I'll take care of that. No, they're all good, Tampa Bay included.
Yep.
B's Bets. He says, VSiN's own Adam Schein, host of not Prop Points, but Adam's show is called, of course,
Make It Rain.
Adam Schein going to vote per B's Bets. He said he was voting for Sam Darnold for comeback player of the year. Kelly, what do you have to say about that?
Well, he can do what he wants with his ballot. I don't agree, but yeah.
He said earlier that he's going to vote for Josh Allen for MVP. I don't know if he's sticking to that or not, but that's what he said earlier. So he's called a shot on Josh Allen. Now he's calling a shot on Sam Darnold for comeback player of the year. Patch Dog says he found a book in Vegas that accepted the parlays that we were talking about.
Oh, yeah. With all those, I guess, shop around. Definitely should say that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, if you're looking to do that.
He doesn't say which one. At the end, he goes, shh, WH. I think he's referring to William Hill. This just in. And Ice Cold Gambler keeps tweeting. He says, good news. Only 83 days until Major League Baseball opening day. We need Spore on ASAP. Can't wait for baseball season. So look forward to that. C. Spackler, Eric Dickerson twerking visual. Thanks for that.
That was one of your finer moments.
Roger Jones, the Bear, taking a day off. No shot. He'll be live tweeting or texting the show and hopefully figuring out how to get this guy to the winner's circle. He has a bet on a horse today. So I'm sure Felica is well aware of that going on as well. Let's see. Russell Smith say Hawken was the other dip. No, that wasn't the other dip choice. That wasn't the one I'm thinking about. Limited Everywhere says, I hope Fezzik's story isn't the South Point stale line parlay card story for the millionth time. I don't know. Maybe it will be. Okay. And yes, we got many tweets saying about Bailey Zappe being the starting quarterback of the Browns. In the history of this show, I don't think we've missed a starting quarterback until that one.
I'm still like, I'm still confused by the line movement, though.
Yeah, that makes no sense.
I'm guessing they're not correlated, Gil, but the timing kind of was.
The timing is.
Yeah, the timing is.
The announcement and the timing is. And by the way, if you think that Bailey Zappe is 4 points worse than DTR, I don't get it.
No.
In any way, shape,
or form. There is no way I would have Bailey Zappe rated as a worse quarterback.
Nope. By the way, here are my plays that I have made already for this weekend. I am on the Rams. I got it at the worst number. I got it at +3 because I did not anticipate Sean McVay, saying, yeah, we're going to play Jimmy G and Blake Corum instead of Kyron Williams. I love them at +6.5, though, with the subs. But I got them at +3.
and didn't take my own advice, because I'm the one who says sometimes these teams don't care about seeding as much as we do. Because the Rams, of course, took the Lions to overtime, and they beat the Vikings. So maybe they don't care internally. I'm on the Texans against the Titans. These are both from guessing lines. The Texans simply, hey, they got to have a good performance before they get into the playoffs. They're the team in the worst form in both conferences right now heading into the postseason. And so they need to play a good football game, and I think they're keenly aware of that. Plus, the Titans on the other side, how could they have been four-point favorites? The Titans are, right now, they're the number two pick in the NFL draft. They don't want to blow that. They need a quarterback. Like, don't fall worse by winning a game.
Yeah.
So as soon as Kelly texted me after the show, hey, you know, it dropped all the way to a pick'em an hour after our guessing line show on Monday. I grabbed the Texans here at a pick'em. And then I am on the Chiefs. I got the Chiefs plus 11 in their game against the Broncos. That makes no sense to me either, by the way. The fact that it is Carson Wentz, but goodness gracious, 11 points against a team, now it's 10.5, against a team like the Broncos, who, even in the best of times, even if they're playing the worst team, they're not exactly like a juggernaut offense. Though certainly they can score at times, but it's not like you associate them with being a team that's going to run away from anybody. So Chiefs plus the points, absolutely, I'll take that. And I did. You, sir?
Yeah, mine are all from early in the week. Chargers laid 3.5 on the opener, although that number has come back down, got out to like 6, and now it's 4.5 most places. So we'll see where that goes, and I was hoping it would stay at 6 so I could make my buy off some a little bit if the Steelers win that game on Saturday a little cleaner with a 6, but looks like I won't have that opportunity. And then I do have a teaser from openers, Broncos laying 2 and Vikings up to 8.5. I haven't added anything else, man. There is just
slim pickings.
Week 18's tough. I think Jason said it perfectly, and usually you have to learn this the hard way. But like, you're every once in a while, every year or two, you find a bet on week 18 that you absolutely love. And man, then you start watching the game and you're like, who is this other guy coming in to play wide receiver right now? What are they doing on the defensive line? And you get burnt and it burns bad.
It's a quick burn too, because you 20 seconds in, you're like, oh, I got this wrong.
Yeah, exactly. So it is definitely one of those weeks where I would caution take lightly and maybe don't load up as much as you normally would on a game you really like.
Brandon Webb, former major league pitcher. No, I'm not sure if it's that Brandon Webb. He says that the NFL is well on its way to presenting voters with a multiple choice ballot instead of a write in your answer ballot, he says, on these. Josie said,
and that's kind of my point from yesterday, right? Like, I'm not going to, you can write in whatever you want because that's the way they've set up the ballot. I'm not going to blame anybody for writing in stuff, but I would probably change it to something like that.
Paul Medina, did you ever dip some grizzly or chew some beech nut? No, neither. Thanks for asking, though. Now all I'm getting is chewing tobacco tweets. Okay, guys. Manny Davis says, Levi Garrett chewing tobacco. Josie714, stop bearing the lead, Gil. Kudermatova last night, plus 149. Caught myself many times during the match going crazy for her. Yeah, but the day before, we didn't have such a good day. But that's a nice bounce back for us yesterday on Polina Kudermatova, plus 149 winner in tennis yesterday.
How's the first few days been going overall?
Very choppy.
Choppy. Okay.
Very choppy. Most of the wins have been on a couple players. But it's the first tournament of the year. You don't overreact.
I was laughing yesterday.
Just plow through.
I was laughing yesterday watching the golf because Will Hill's boy Tom Hoagie takes a first round lead. I think he got a 9-1 ticket out of late later in the round. So yeah, Will was sweating out. Texted me, Matsuyama had a chance to tie him at the end, get a dead heat out of it, but he won.
I mean, betting is such a funny thing, right? We say this from time to time. We were so, both you and I'll just speak for myself. I was all about Georgia yesterday, right? Georgia. And then clearly they played a terrible football game. And again, Notre Dame scoring 17 points in a 58-second span. Georgia having multiple opportunities, not multiple, but two opportunities at the beginning. They fumble deep in Notre Dame's territory. Then a sideline interference. Didn't see that one coming. So it goes all bad for Georgia. But then if you bet on the Ole Miss game last night, which I did, right, it's just a brain-dead bet that Lane Kiffin, right, you think about Georgia for a week, and then you show up and you're like, oh, yeah, there's this random Lane Kiffin bowl game against Duke. Oh, he's totally running up the score.
Yeah.
And he did. It was just like brain dead Ole Miss bets all night. So that's the gig of sports betting. By the way, this is
our farewell to our Georgia futures tickets.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Forgot about that too.
We were so fond of them. We talked about them so
what was
often.
Your favorite moment about having it? You know, that kind of thing.
Three different times I remembered, I'm like, oh yeah, I have a Georgia ticket.
And the reason was is because we didn't bet it at its height. We bet it at
we did. Yeah.
And NCI95 Gambler, I have a KOC Coach of the Year Futures ticket thanks to the great Cleve TA from the summer at a great price, and it could be more of a toss-up with the Vikings having a 14-2 record. What do we have to do to win an awards bet? We bet on this league.
I feel like I've heard this a couple times this week. Do you think that game matters at all for that race? The Vikings-Lions game?
Someone asked me that yesterday. I said no.
I don't think so either.
Unless Minnesota got blown out of the water, I don't think it matters. Yeah, I think it's KOC.
I don't really think so either.
Number one pick in the draft. Do we have a play here? Number one pick in the draft. We talked about this earlier in the week. Shedeur is -110. Cam Ward +165. Travis Hunter's +360. Right now, the Patriots have the number one pick, and they're playing the Bills.
So to your point the other day,
I think they would pick Travis Hunter if they remain number one.
I did find a shop offshore that was hanging this the other day. Travis Hunter was 2-1 there. So not +360, so a little shorter there.
Yeah, well, this
would follow your line of thinking with the Patriots.
Yes, for Travis Hunter at FanDuel +360. Now, here's the thing: could the Patriots trade out if somebody gave them a great offer for a quarterback? Sure, that is always a possibility. But +360 with one football game to play against the Bills. By the way, the Bills gonna start Josh Allen to keep his start streak alive.
Yep.
But then they are going to, the majority of the game, they're going to go to Mitch Trubisky. Yeah.
I'm just wondering how much shorter. Like, I think it's going to be Shedeur. I still think it's going to be Shedeur. And do we wake up in a month or two and this is -300?
I'd like to have some Travis Hunter +360 tickets, though, just in case. I really would. Boy, coming back, the great Steve Fezzik. On the other side, it's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
The Sports Betting Network.
This segment of A Numbers Game is brought to you by Zyn Nicotine Pouches. There's only one number one draft pick. There's only one champion at the end of the season. And there's only one nicotine pouch brand in America that outsells the rest, and that is Zyn. Zyn is a smoke-free, spit-free, hassle-free nicotine pouch that can be enjoyed anywhere, anytime. Find your Zyn at Zyn.com. That's Zyn.com. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Maybe Jason Weingarten should be all about the Zyn. Maybe he should be. We get tweets at Beatty the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Christian Marge. Been on the same line of thinking as you, Gil, in regard to the Rams. Bet them the day after they knocked off the Bills at 55-1 to win it all, with the thought this team could outscore anyone in a given game and can get hot value there if nothing else. Christian, I'm with you, and I think I will be adding. I only have a couple Super Bowl matchups that both involve the Lions. I think I will be adding a Rams-Chiefs and a Rams-Ravens here at some point. New York Mets 16. How good of a game does Trubisky need to have to take some MVP shade from Josh Allen working on the recency premise? Oh, that's interesting. So if the thinking being there that if Mitch Trubisky threw for 400 yards or something, that somehow Josh Allen would be diminished in some way, I guess is what you're saying. Oh, look, Mitch Trubisky can run this offense even better than Josh Allen can. I don't think the two are related. I think those that are going to vote for Josh Allen will not be swayed, and those who are not, we'll make that comment, but it will be kind of an empty comment. D-Gen Southern Gent. I'm surprised Grizzly didn't come to mind alongside Copenhagen and Skull. Not insinuating a gentleman such as himself was a dipper. Oh, for Kelly, he said he didn't. He is surprised he didn't come up with that. Not insinuating a gentleman like Kelly is a dipper, but I'm sure he was surrounded by a number of devoted Grizzly fans in the swampier places he's lived. Wow. That's interesting. It's built on a swamp. You do have it literally correct. It's Gil Alexander. At this time of week, we love to do Football Friday. We would have had Felica on already by this time, but we gave Chris the day off because he's been on the show again 47 times in the last 2 weeks. But that doesn't mean Steve Fezzik's not back in studio, and he is the only back-to-back winner of the Hilton Super Contest. He joins us now. How you doing, man?
Quite a contrast. 1 year ago, we were sweating out Survivor the last week with Greg Jones, and my goodness. You know, it sounds so exciting, and it is, but how stressful was that last week?
Last year, you mean?
Yeah, of last year.
Well, you and I, because we were talking about it all the time. Meet me at the Caesars gym. I have to talk to you about Survivor.
Yeah.
And so Steve's one of these guys where if you're on treadmills at the same time, he wants to talk to you the whole time. You're like, I can't talk right now, Steve. I can't talk about this. But it was, are you happy? Do you feel unburdened by not being involved in it this year?
Well, it's a mixed blessing, right? Yeah. It's like I'd much rather have the burden of a big payout possibly, but it's certainly a little less stressful. I'm hanging around in one, there's one contest left that I might be able to win.
Oh, the season wins one.
The season wins. So the resume I'm going to submit to the Westgate right now has 23 wins with the possibility of 24 if Houston goes over 9.5. So will 24-8 win the Westgate season win contest? I'm going to predict it will. Because think about that. That's like going 3-1 in every division. That's going to be tough to beat.
Did you say Wes Reynolds was in this?
Wes Reynolds won it 2 years ago.
He won it two years ago.
And famously, that's the year there was only 30 teams because of the Hamlin year. So Buffalo and Cincy got disqualified. They didn't count.
That's right.
And so Wes, he punched in 21 out of 30 points.
Wow.
So that's why I'm thinking 23 gives me a good chance. I got a good tie break, too. I got Kansas City with 13 wins.
Which brings to mind one of the things that we've talked about here on A Numbers Game for years now. We give Drew Dinsick the credit for this. He deserves the credit, which is the pre-flop alternate season win totals markets before the season starts. And Drew's line, which resonated and we've repeated many times, was the notion, and I'll paraphrase, the notion that those are priced correctly is totally false, right? It's probably a complete fallacy that those are priced correctly. And you believe, we teased because we talked about your how you hyped up the show, how you're going to talk about how you exploit one thing and you made $1 million betting. But that's one of those things that would apply, right?
Yeah, and the whale capper nailed it here. So the way to win betting sports, the best way is identify something that nobody else has identified. Be the innovator. And I think Drew was. You know, he's the first guy publicly that talked about it. So I was playing around with the binomial. Warning, danger, there's a little math.
No, here comes the math, people.
Here it comes. So I just punched in 17 games, average team, 500 team. If you flip a coin 17 times, all right? How many heads or tails should you get? So it's like a season win number, right? How often are you going to win exactly 8 or 9 games? And it turns out it's 18.7%, okay? So if you, I'm taking a few shortcuts. So if you played under 7.5 on a team lined on 8.5, bottom line is your break even by this binomial distribution would be -217/+217. You need +217 to break even, but here's the mistake. And you can get +217 oftentimes. Mm-hmm. The mistake is this is a fair coin that's correctly valued, 50% heads, 50% tails, and the coin doesn't change. So there's two mistakes, inherent flaws to this. One is you could get a team that's a lot better or a lot worse than what the fair coin was thought to be. By example, this year, like the Vikings were a 7-win team. Well, they weren't going to land anywhere close to 7 because the Vikings were like a 10-win coin, at least, that was priced as a 7. That's factor one, mispricing to start the season. Factor two, changes during the season. New Orleans Saints. Yeah, they probably were lined right to win, you know, 7.5 games. But then, boom, Olave Spade gets injuries, hurt. Carr gets smashed around.
Yeah.
And so they're a shell of themselves by the end of the year. So because of that, and then let's go to Matt Buchholter. There's an inherent bias, and I knew about this also, towards people want to bet overs.
In every sport.
In every sport. But so in football, it turns out if you just bet unders on all these season wins, and Matt has talked about this, you're pretty much going to break even right off the bat. So you want to play these alternative totals and you want to go under. What's interesting is I think Matt recommended one over alternative and it lost. And I was thinking it's like, well, he went against his general guideline. And so he lost on general principles.
A lot of us don't follow our own advice.
I don't as well.
The way I used to do it in my baseball manifestos, the way I used to say it is, if your instinct is to bet a spate of overs, you're probably doing this wrong. Right. That's the because we are wired for optimism. We're wired for overs in individual games and totals. Right. We're wired for teams to go over their season win totals. And that instinct is not a good one for bettors.
But it was good in football this year because in the NFL, the favorites and the overs, if you just bet them all year long, you got murdered in September. Now you're up big. They both are over 53% for the year. And if you spit that into a binomial calculator within like, you know, 99% confidence interval, something like that. It's like, this is not random. The numbers were too low and wrong.
And let's give a shout out because the reason that you have become sort of recently here fixated on this notion of you know, find one thing you're good at, find one thing that no one else is doing, find one thing you can exploit, and you can really, really be successful at this, is the segment that I did here with Gina Fiore, who came on here, and she was great. She was outstanding.
She was.
And you got super inspired by that.
Yeah, because to summarize, if you missed the segment, so Gina was a hole carder, and like she said, and I agreed with her number, about 1 in 300 dealers will flash their hole card. Mm-hmm. Helps to be short, helps to be in a wheelchair. Oh, my leg.
But the amount of time she spent scouting just to find those people.
Exactly. And then you find someone, and it's like, you, what you want to do is you want to have a team, because it's too obvious if you're, oh, you're peaking, and then you're betting big.
That's right.
So you have your peakers just betting $5.
That would not be a good way to do it. Be like, hey, are you showing a card there?
Yes.
Yeah, that would not be good.
And so you have your Confederate that is betting, you know, flat. They can flat bet. They can just bet 500 a hand. And every time they get 16 against a 9, oh, I think I'll stay. And the dealer flips over a 6. And when you think about it, it's so obvious. Like any casino manager with the brain that is aware of this possibility play, and this is well documented in the movie Casino, right, where they break the guy's, you know,
right,
hand. It's like it takes, you know, the movie star like 10 seconds to figure out, well, something's amiss here. This guy keeps guessing right. And yet casino employees, remember, they see thousands of losing gamblers over and over and over again. And the natural reaction is like, it's a casino. Someone has to win money, you know, every now and then.
And I'm going to reference a tweet we just got moments ago, which is Steve going to tell the parlay card story again? Your vehicle to sort of exploiting, that was your thing back in the day.
Yeah. So epiphany. So 1992, forget South Point. Okay, that's like the tail end of all this. Okay, so I'm gonna go back. We're going back in time. In 1992, I came to Vegas. I'm playing some blackjack, you know, screwing around. I don't have much of a bankroll, and I'm working a full time job, and I'm studying to be a full time actuary, taking all these exams, very strenuous. So I don't have time to get to Vegas. But I look at this card, and I'm like, what's this? All the point spreads are published, printed on Wednesday. They're stale. They don't
what's
move.
What's this? Yes.
What's this? And I'm like, oh, wow, the payouts are going to be lousy. I flip it over and it's like, oh, well, parlays are sucker bets, right? Well, the three teamer paid 7-1. That's the same as 6-1. Those are true odds. It's like -110. The six teamer then. So if the three teamer pays 7-1, the six teamer should pay 49-1. It paid 54.
The 6-1 was the one that was exploitable. We've talked about this on the show before. That was the one where smart guys like you figured out. And that's the amazing thing. If you're smart like Steve, you will sniff out the value somewhere.
And actually, the 10-teamer was the best of them all. But you got taxed on the 9 and 10-teamer. I didn't want them to know who I was. I wanted to be anonymous. So I played 6, 7, and 8-teamers. And we'll talk about that in the next segment.
We'll continue that story. And then Steve's Week 18 plays in the National Football League. That's on the other side. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Are you the kind of player who wants to drop $10,000 or more on an NFL line at the best price in the market? Steve Fezzik, might that be you? Or maybe you're looking for instant acceptance on your in-game bets. You need SportTrade, the app that's revolutionizing sports betting. With -104 lines instead of the standard -110, instant in-game betting, and a dedicated concierge player service, SportTrade delivers a premium betting experience like no other. Now live in New Jersey, Colorado, Iowa, Arizona, and Virginia. Download SportTrade today. Use code VSIN to earn 10% cash back on every wager during your first week. Terms apply. Got to be 21 or older to play. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call or text 1-800-GAMBLER. I would think you'd be all over SportTrade.
Yeah, I love SportTrade. I've talked to those guys. They're really smart, and I keep emphasizing. I love when they say -104 in each direction. That's just like, a general guide. You're probably going to do better than that. You know, you're going to lay less than -104 in NFL at post.
Well, and along those lines, I figured you'd be all over Profit X then.
Exactly. Yeah. And I actually, you put me in touch with Joe Pita. We've already had conversations.
That's right.
And I got to tell you, these betting exchanges, they're going to kill the -110 betting.
I think so.
Mark my words, because what's going to happen is at post, like all the time, every other expert loves every guy. I love the Rams. I love the 49ers. They have like 8 games they like. I don't like anybody on Sunday. It's like, I believe in the market being very efficient Sunday morning. I'm not laying -110 at a market number. I'm not good enough to win laying -110 but I'm good enough laying minus 102.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And by the way, you say this all the time about like contests where you're betting into like a closing line. Like you're not that great at that.
I'm not. Yeah. You know, well, part of it is just that it has become so difficult. And that's why famously, like on your show, I've been giving out all year long look ahead lines. It's going to be real hard to win this week, Gil.
Yes.
Because there are none.
There are none. There is no week 19. Pat Moran on Twitter. This is insane. I'll talk about our comeback player of the year conversation. Based on this, Joe Burrow won't get shut out for an award. They'll give him rookie of the year. He's very angry about it. SN Wright. Get Fez. Oh, I noticed this too, Fez. He said, get Fez to say New Orleans correctly. I believe he corrects people on Nevada, just saying. It's New Orleans. It's not New Orleans.
Caramel?
Terry Ray. As Charlie Munger said, you're looking for a mispriced gamble. That's what investing is, and you have to know enough to know whether the gamble is mispriced. That's value investing.
Well, you know, if you watch The Big Short, this is going back to the parlay cards.
Great movie.
This is an example where they're shorting all the banks and all these AAA and AA bonds that have never failed, right? And everyone's making fun of them. So, like, going back to the story about the parlay card, so it's like 1993, and this is the first score. And I'm everyone who's a professional gambler, they lose. You know, you've got to put in your dues and you get better at it. We didn't lose. From the get-go, we just kicked butt. I still remember my buddy John, my Northwestern pal, it came out and he played like all these six-teamers at the Riviera. And he didn't even bet that much. And he went like 13-1 on the 14 teams he used. Yeah. So literally more than half of his cards paid 54-1. And I did, you know, really well. And well, I think I won like 30,000. I still remember when they were cashing ticket after ticket. We're nervous about it. You know, we read, you know, the beat up card counters and stuff that do really well. And we're just cashing these tickets slowly, slowly matriculating, you know, the profits. And they're just laughing. They're like, anytime you guys want to come back. You know, it feels like we were just some random kid suckers that had just, you know,
got lucky.
And, you know, shout out Joe Lupo, 1996.
Joe Lupo
ran the Stardust. He's documented in the book by Chad Millman, The Odds, and with Alan Boston. And he was the first guy to recognize, whoa, wait a minute. Maybe this isn't just random luck as I'm playing again and again and winning. And he was the first guy to back me up. And then ultimately he barred me for a year. He says, Steve, no more bets for you. And he thought about for the rest of the year, you know? And so I started
for the rest of the year.
So I started like plying my trade and going around and every now and then you'd find a place that just hadn't gotten the memo.
You got into scouting mode. Yeah.
Go in the scouting mode and famous, like blew up Prim once, blew up the Wild Wild West in on Tropicana, Wendover, Nevada.
Yeah.
I still don't feel safe going back to Wendover, Nevada.
Really?
Literally Baldini's up in Reno. Single-handedly, Baldini's became a Leroy's book 2 weeks after I got them in back-to-back weeks.
You don't feel comfortable because you think they'll remember you kind of thing?
Wendover is a scary little border town in Utah. It holds its own secrets. So.
I will say this, though. So we did this. When I say we, I said you and me did this last year at the William Hill Caesars books. We actually won big 1 week. But by mid-season, it was kind of over because every time you would walk up there, and you and I just talked about this off air. Every time you would walk up there, they'd be like, oh, those three games are not on. They're not on the
so here's
anymore.
The lesson.
Yeah.
The reason I'm talking about it, it's largely dead.
It's dead.
It's basically dead. And William Hill was the last place that was still taking some action. Like in the best way I can. Famously with the South Point, we talked about the story. So I had a $200 10-team card at South Point. Okay. Bert Osborne, who was running the book, shook my hand. He's like, that's fantastic, Steve. Went ahead and paid me the $130,000 in chips and some cash, helped me out with security, walking me out. And then he did say, not in a negative way. And then he said, Steve, I'm going to need you never to win more than $50,000 in any one weekend ever again. You understand? Kind of like old school Vegas. And then, but by contrast, 10 years later, you know, Chrissy's run the book and I play with my player's card. I play 10 $90 parlay cards. Well, he's always sneaking in these cards.
Well, let's be fair, because you were being a pig about it, right? And that's what he would say about
it. I use my players. How can I be a pig if I'm like using my players card, disclosing who I am? Here's 10 cards during March Madness. To be fair, Chrissy, he'd recognized I had the advantage and he just snapped and he said, no more of that.
Well,
is okay. That's his prerogative.
I don't want to get into it, but yeah, okay. There's a difference of opinion there. Let's put it that way on how that went down.
Yes.
Fair? Okay.
Yes.
Fair.
Absolutely. There's always two sides.
There's always two sides.
And it's a good point that, you know what, everything's kumbaya and all these like content providers are like huggy huggy with all the sportsbook directors. And I got to say, I'm in good with Circa and I love everyone at Circa, but that is not the norm in town. The norm, I would say, like, I have a really good relationship with the Wynn, but there's a lot of books that, like, barely tolerate me. You're like, I guess we got to let Fez play, you know, but part of that is my past. You know, when you're coming in and you're cashing, like, at the Aladdin, one time I cashed five $9,000 parlay cards. They literally had security, like running after me.
Okay, but you would agree. Hold on, I got to get you to make a concession here. You would agree that you are physically incapable, Steve Fezzik, we get along fine, but you would agree that you are physically incapable of sort of restraining yourself if you sniff any edge anywhere. And if they say to you, hey, Steve Fezzik, that's great that you did that, but maybe ratchet it back a little bit, that you are incapable. The fiber, your DNA, you cannot stop yourself.
Well, you're correct. But I'm not going to say it's necessarily a flaw. Let me say this.
I'm not saying it's a flaw. I'm just saying that's where you
if
run into
you're
trouble.
You're a sucker. And I'll go back to Cal Neva up in Reno, okay? In the 1990s, I don't know what was going on. 2 a.m, people were coming up with green garbage cans full of parlay cards. Like, yeah. like in shoe boxes. And they'd be at the window for an hour and a half. What the heck this was, I don't know. But people would be like putting in bets for an hour and a half. Tens of thousands of dollars of cards. None of those guys ever got backed off. None of those guys. There's no questions asked. That money just went through the window.
Well, I mean, it must be your warm and fuzzy personality that people see on Twitter all the time. That must be it.
That was before Twitter.
Well, as I'm saying.
That was before Twitter.
I'm just saying, I'd love to give you the benefit of the doubt, but, you know, the evidence suggests.
Fair enough. But well, I mean, this happens with Gina, too. I'm sure she got, you know, harassed big time when like it's like Renegade, you know, like I'm in trouble. The coop is up. Right. You know, right. It's like.
But who wouldn't? Yeah. But you, sir, are not Gina. In other words, like in terms of the personality you exude. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. Fair enough.
OK.
Fair enough. But the lesson is find something like the Whale Capper has found with these alternative totals.
Absolutely.
And a book I've referenced this before, Logan Fields, 2020 Sports Betting, Think Like a Pro, documents how he beat golf and he explains specific examples, including betting the field. Now, this wouldn't work in tennis betting because the field never wins because the better tennis player always wins. But that's not true in golf. Total scrubs can win golf tournaments.
Yep.
And you get 40 total scrubs in the field. And they can beat, you know, Morikawa and all these guys.
Yeah, in tennis, they can't win the slams necessarily, but they can win some of the 500s and the 250s. Sure. Real quick before you go, what do you got week 18?
So we're going to go first halves, two of them. We're going to play the Bays in the first half. We're going to play Green Bay -6.5, -120, and Tampa Bay -7.5, -115. The reason I like both games, Green Bay possibly playing for seeding. They hate the Bears. Worried a little bit on the tail end. Green Bay tends to take the ball. Ultra motivated first half. Same with Tampa Bay. I think Tampa Bay, obviously, ultra motivated to win the division. They might take their feet off the gas, make sure Mike Evans gets his 85 pass yards. But Tampa should start with the ball first. Not a lock, but they should start with the ball, which is an edge. And I also like both teams, and both teams have done very well in the first half. So Green Bay first half, Tampa Bay first half.
Easy enough to remember. And the Mike Evans thing is he needs 85 yards to continue his streak of 1,000-yard receiving season. And Baker Mayfield and the Bucks are well aware.
Bold
that.
Prediction, Mike Evans will get exactly 91 yards this week because as soon as he gets over 85, they got a playoff game to play the next week.
Oh, man, if he gets 91. Thank you, Steve. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Gilly.
Steve Fezzik, everybody, right here, kind enough to join us each and every Friday during the football season here on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Dr. Bob, also kind enough to join us. He's next on College Football.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Coming up top of the hour, after A Numbers Game, Monday Moves with Stormy Bonatoni. That's from noon to 2 p.m. Stormy with a bunch of co-hosts each and every week, but always on a Friday. It's Jeff Schwartz. Prop Points, John Hansen, 2 to 3 p.m. right after that. And then Adam Schein with Make It Rain from 3 to 4. That's coming up on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Also, our G-Bank Best Bets of the Day. We don't want to leave that out. Each and every show here on the network, every day, every show with all of our G-Bank Best Bets, the official bank of VSiN. Mine, once again, in the NFL, I am on. I got the worst of it with the Rams, +3. Did not anticipate Sean McVay saying, hey, I'm sitting everybody. But he is. I love the Rams at +6.5, but I have them at Rams +3 in my account. That's what's there. Texans, pick them against the Titans. Again, I did not understand this line during guessing lines when the Titans were actually favored by 4. I still don't get it as a pick 'em. I think the Texans need to perform to have a good performance heading into a postseason. Their form is terrible right now. And the Titans don't really need to win a football game. You know what I'm saying? They're number 2 right now in the NFL draft. I think perhaps there'll be some decisions made in terms of who's on the field and who's not. And the Chiefs +11. My goodness, I get it. It's not Patrick Mahomes. It's Carson Wentz. But I'll take the Chiefs, the 15-1 Chiefs, plus all of those points against a Broncos offense that's not exactly the 91 Skins or the 2007 Patriots. You know what I mean? I'll take the points in that one. And I did. Kelly is on the Chargers -3.5. Again, there's going to be some correlated movement on that in case some things happen on Saturday. If the Steelers were to lose, then the Chargers would have more incentive to win on Sunday. That line will probably get higher. If the Steelers win, that line could get lower. Unless Jim Harbaugh decides, that is, as he said, hey, I'm playing everybody. Doesn't matter. And then probably the most obvious sort of teaser of the week. Broncos teased down. He got that early in the week. He's got the Broncos -2 against the Chiefs. And then he's got the Vikings teased up to 8.5 against the Lions. That leg still available to everybody. Steve Fezzik, Packers, Bucks, the Bay of Pigs first half plays against the spread. He's got the Packers -6.5 first half on Sunday, and he's got the Bucks -7.5. And again, if the Bucks win, they are going to have clinched their division. There's nothing the Falcons can do about that if they win. If they win and the Rams lose, then the Buccaneers advance to being the number three seed, pardon me, in the NFC playoffs at that point. Also on the show today, Jason Weingarten. He's got the Rams +6.5, so he was all about his Rams. When I say his Rams, he's some family members who are with the organization, so he is tied in heavily to that team. G-Bank, the official bank of VSiN. By the way, our best bets always brought to you by them. VSiN recommends every bettor make the G-Bank Visa Signature Card part of their betting toolbox. Save up to 3 to 5% on cash advance fees. Earn cashback rewards on eligible betting transactions. And now for a limited time, you'll get a $250 bonus when you open your account. Spend $1,000 in the first 90 days. Apply now at VSiN.com/G-Bank. That's VSiN.com/G-Bank. Take advantage of the $250 bonus for a limited time from our friends at G-Bank, the official bank of VSiN, subject to credit approval, terms and conditions apply. It's Gil Alexander. Before we go, just a couple tweets here at the end. From Get the Money Racing, it says, these gambling stories from Crackman and Fezzik on your show are pure gold. I think so too. Love listening to these stories and need to reread the book The Odds, which was a gift to me about 10 years ago. Happy New Year, ANG team. Happy New Year to you, Get the Money Racing. Appreciated. Jason McKinney, is it just books that barely tolerate Fezzik? Or a lot of people on X. I'm not saying I'm one, but I haven't gotten into a social media fight with him. Fezzik is he's an actuary. He's a mathematical mind. He's had great success betting. And on Twitter, he's not for everybody. Let's put it that way. And then Jason, ice cold game, which is now you have Fezzik saying matriculating the ball down the field. You're rubbing off on him. SN Wright, great interview with Fez. Thanks for giving him grief. Thanks for the content. Thank you for listening. As always, thanks to each and every one of you for listening. We are always blessed not only with Steve and with Chris Felica every Friday here on the show during football season, but also with the great Dr. Bob at DR Bob Sports, drbobsports.com. He joins us now courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. I don't know if he's going to have a play in the national semifinals in college, but he's definitely got some thoughts on these. How you doing, Bob?
I'm doing all right. Been a quiet bowl season. I've only had a handful of plays. It's just been a weird, you know, more and more every year, more and more opt out, more and more who's going to play. It's just, it's been fairly rough sledding, although I did have a small play on Arizona State plus the points. So that was nice to see. I was bummed that they lost, though. I thought they got robbed a little bit.
It is really tough with all the opt outs. It's just a different game than it was, you know, 2-3 years. I mean, let alone last year, right? 2-3 years ago, 4 years ago. Yep. It's sort of the Christian McCaffrey and Leonard Fournette started it. And that was sort of, oh, wow, I'm surprised more people aren't, you know, sitting out these games who are going to the draft. And then with the transfer portal, my God, then it just became a whole different thing. What about these national semis? I'm curious what your opinion is on each of these. Let's start with the one that was already established before yesterday, which is Ohio State being a 6-point favorite over Texas.
I think that line would have been 3 probably before the games were played. And I was like, and I'm watching, you know, I had Ohio State as best team in the country before the season started. I had them as the best team in the country entering the playoffs. And I thought, man, if they're laying 3 to Texas, I'll jump all over Ohio State. And of course they're not. The line's 6. And I'm like, that's probably fair. I probably would have made it 7. You know, Ohio State obviously playing at their peak right now. And Texas has been, most of the year, have been relatively worse offensively against the better defensive teams that they played. I mean, they racked up a lot of yards and points against, like, Colorado State and UTSA at 9 yards a play and Mississippi State, you know, and all at 500 yards. And they just relatively, though, have not been as good offensively against the better defensive teams. They did play well throwing the ball. I mean, Ewers has really not performed well, and he's faced good defensive teams. And Arizona State is a good defensive team. I think they were getting slighted a little bit, and that's where it kind of found the value in Arizona State before that game was played, was that their defense has been underrated all year. So I was really surprised that Ewers really had a really good game against a good pass defense, although Texas could not run the ball at all. But overall, they played relatively well offensively. So that's the first time in a while. I don't consider Clemson a good defensive team. So they didn't count, but against really good defensive teams, they really struggle most of the year. And Ohio State is the best defensive team in the country. So I do think Texas is going to have a tough time moving the ball consistently. You know, but then again, Texas has a pretty darn good defense too. I mean, just neck and neck with Ohio State as far as the best defense goes. But Ohio State has proven that they can move the ball against better defensive teams or elite defensive teams. So I'd rather have Ohio State here. I think the line should be 7, but I'm not going to bet the game.
Yeah, so just so I understand correctly, before these games, you would have had it at 3, but you think it is appropriate, this move?
Yeah, no, I think the line would have been 3.
Yeah.
I would have had Ohio State, you know, I would have laid the 3.
Okay.
I just think that the market has adjusted as it should have to Ohio State. Yeah.
Got it. Okay. And if anything, you'd be on Ohio State here. But not
if anything, but I'm not going to play it.
Not going to play it. Okay. What about the other national semi? Notre Dame. Notre Dame, a 1.5-point favorite now against Penn State. I'm curious what you think about this.
Yeah. I ran the math. You know, I downloaded the box score and cleaned up the box score and had it and ran it last night. And I'm like, okay, Pick'em seems like what the line should be. And I think it opened at Pick'em. And then we got some Notre Dame money. You know, they were impressive against Georgia, but it was a backup quarterback. I mean, I wouldn't get carried away with Notre Dame dominating. They should have dominated a backup quarterback. I mean, so I'm actually throwing that defensive effort out the window because who knows how good Stockton really is. But, you know, neither team is particularly trustworthy offensively against good defensive teams. Even Penn State, you know, Alar couldn't throw the ball against Boise. I mean, he averaged 4.9 yards a pass play. He only averaged 4.6 yards a pass play against SMU. The game before that, 5.5 yards per pass play against Oregon. He just has not been able to throw the ball consistently against a good defense. The run game has saved them, though. The run game has really picked things up. They got 2 great running backs, good offensive line, and they've been able to run the ball on good defensive teams most of the season. So I think that's where they're going to have to do it against Notre Dame. Notre Dame allows more yards per running play than they do yards per pass play. So that's the way to beat Notre Dame, and Penn State can do that. I think Pick should be the line here. And Notre Dame's offense has really struggled against better defensive teams, and they did against Georgia, 4.2 yards per play. I mean, they really did not move the ball consistently aside from Riley Leonard scrambling every once in a while. They couldn't really run the ball at the running backs. Leonard averaged 3.2 yards a pass play. So against a good defense, I think Notre Dame is likely to struggle here. But I don't necessarily trust Penn State's quarterback either. I probably at plus points, I'd probably rather have Penn State because I think the line should be picked. That's where it opened. I think that's where it should be. But I don't think there's enough value to bet it.
All right. And then a real quick answer, 5 seconds or less. Totals are right around where they should be too?
Yeah, I came up with 47 on Notre Dame, Penn State. Although since Notre Dame relatively is worse offensively against better defenses, both teams are, I'd probably lean a little bit under. And the other game, that's about the same. Probably I'm around the total there, but I'd probably lean slightly under in that one as well, since Texas's offense struggles relatively against better defenses.
Bob, Happy New Year. Thank you so much.
All right. Happy New Year.
Dr. Bob, everybody. Close out each and every Friday here on A Numbers Game on Football Fridays. Done all we can do. Stormy and Jeff next. Money Moves right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.